Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Monday morning, you sure look fine. Friday, I got traveling on my mind. First, you love me, and then you fade away. I can't go on believing this way. I got nothing but love for you. Tell me what you really want to do. First, you love me, then you get on.
Good morning, 510 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, sort of a medium day for a November morning, upper 50, something like that. It's shorts weather. It'll be 70 later on today. Oh, my God, the air show was fantastic. I mean, I had a kind of interesting way of comparing the different days of the air show this weekend because so I was out there Thursday. I wasn't watching the practice on Thursday. I was just out there interviewing Blue Angels, as you all know. And then Friday, my wife and I actually watched it from like Boblets. We watched it from across the water because we got paddle boards. And so we went out to watch from the water basically. And it was different. It was a different experience because it's really quiet. I mean, you don't have any of the narration, any of the crowd noise, any of that kind of stuff, but very different perspective on watching the show from the water. And, you know, I like it. It's just kind of an interest. And, of course, that's probably where a lot of people watch it when the base is not available, you know, when you had Blue Angels practices. They go watch it from any. There's a couple of streets that kind of dead end in that bay. And, you can obviously watch it from anywhere along Boblets as long as you park on the correct side of the street. That was a big issue at the county commission meeting. A lot of people showing up complaining about the parking and also the travel along Boblets, which, by the way, I thought it was weird because I don't know if it's since we were last down there. It's been a couple of years since I was down on Boblets, which is just like right across the water on the north. It's the park, the big, long, long Navy Point Park, okay, travels along Boblets. And people at the county commission meeting last week were complaining about traffic on Boblets, but I don't remember there being, and speed, I don't remember all the speed tables being there before. And if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know I'm not a big fan of the speed tables. I think they're dumb and expensive, and there's no value to having them. But at least the ones that are getting built these days are being built in a way that you can, you know, drive over them at 20 miles an hour, whereas, you know, the old style are like the ones that'll kill your car at 5 miles an hour. So there's a bunch of speed tables on Boblets. So I thought weird to hear people complaining so much about the speed on Boblets when you have all these speed tables have been put in. Although, then again, I don't think that speed tables solve anything. But that was just an interesting experience watching it in a different way. And then on Saturday, I had some relatives in town, and we actually went to the base, went on the base, and, you know, sat there and watched it. And again, had a little different experience because I'm used to watching the show from the media platform, which is all the way at the... Got to do the, where's the geography in my head? The eastern end of the runway, right where the Blue Angels park. So I'm used to watching it from there. And we watch it from all the way down at the other end, like almost to the kiddie area, because there was a lot of open seating over there. And one thing is the stereo, the speakers, you cannot hear them down there. You can hear that there's some kind of noise being made, but you can't hear what's actually being said. So you get just like periodically you'll hear something that's intelligible. And for the most part, no, because I thought we had like some really good seats, a really good view. Because one of the things you run into is if you're not in the paid seating in like the chalets, then all of the tents are in your way if you sit anywhere else. Now, for most of the show, it doesn't matter. It's in the air. But there are a couple of things like the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis that go racing or the jet car, that kind of stuff that is, it's a little bit annoying because you can hear it, but you can't see it. So we were down there, which is a great visibility, but you trade off that you can't hear the audio. But oh my God, the crowd, enormous. I don't even want to guess. We'll probably get a number later today, tomorrow, something like that. And They'll tell us that it was, you know, 250,000 people over the 2 days. I mean, it was huge, packed out, and always the homecoming air show. It was great. But the thing that surprised me the most was the act that caught my, like, interest the best. Because, of course, the Blue Angels. And, as if again, if you listen to the show, you know, I'm a big fan of modern jets. So the F-35 demonstration, honestly, kind of disappointing, weirdly. Might be a weird thing to say, but it was, you know, the plane itself is amazing. But I've seen, like, the F-22 Raptor demo that they've done here, and I've seen it before at, like, Luke in Arizona. The F-22 demo is sick. Like, it's really, really, you watch that F-22 do things that you just, no jet should be able to do that. No jet should be able to do that. But when you watch the F-35, I don't know if it's, they don't want to show off what it can do. I don't know if it's, it can't do more, because I, you know, but I think compared to the F-22, it's pretty similar in its capabilities. But it's just kind of like the pass is back and forth, and here's the open bay doors, and, you know, enjoy yourself. And, you know, a couple of vertical passes, but it's loud and fast, but what distinguishes the, you know, the most modern generation of fighters is the ability to do things in the air that you think, I'm not really seeing this, am I? That's not possible. Like, that can't happen. Turning on a dime in midair, seemingly, like, defying the laws of physics and the kind of thrust vectoring that they use. So I was just personally, I really wanted to be there for the F-35, and I thought the F-35 was, okay. The F-16, the Viper demo, fantastic. Now, you don't expect the F-16 to be able to do things that, like, the F-35 can do, but the difference between the F-16 is that it's lighter and it's zippier because it's lighter than, like, the Super Hornets, and so it was just back and forth, doing all kinds of cool stuff, and fun, loud. That's what the Thunderbirds fly. The F-16 is what the Thunderbirds fly, so that was a really great day. But, like I said, the ones that caught me by surprise, I always, for some reason, I get so fixated on the jets that I always forget about a couple of the non-jet demos. And the one that every time, and this is like, I don't know why I can't seem to learn this lesson, but Rob Holland. It's just like, if you were at the show, that's the black and red plane. That's the plane that you saw, let's say, put itself, it's a propeller, okay? So put itself on its tail and then go sideways, drifting sideways across the air. And then while it's going sideways, you know, it's top facing you, then he rotates it so that the tail flips like a spiral over the nose and around and around and around. Or he'll take it straight up in the air, pitch it sideways, and fly it basically in a descending circle flat, the Frisbee, or inverted in the Frisbee. And, you know, I've met Rob Holland a couple of times. You know, he's not a young guy. And so it's just, I mean, it's amazing, absolutely amazing what he does with that plane. Things that, like I said, you watch it and you're like, I mean, this is not possible. Is it really? That's how can, wow. And then, of course, you know, you have the jet propeller. But there's a plane that's, it's got a propeller on the front. So, and it's got a jet. It's got both. And you're watching it a little bit. And, you know, again, with that kind of a thing, he does amazing stuff. Like, he sits it straight up in the air and just hovers. A propeller with a jet on the back, just hovering in the air. And, you know, it's just like, I can do this. So, like I said, some of the things about the air show were just amazing. The jet car was amazing. Of course, all of the Blue Angels and those kind of things. And we didn't get there early enough to see the Clydesdales, but I saw some of the video. I know a lot of you really enjoyed that. But, no, fantastic time at the air show over the weekend. The base personnel did a fantastic job of shepherding people in, shepherding people out. I think that the thing they were yelling at the cars they were leaving was, "Keep driving!" Which is loosely translated, get off our base. You know, because people, you know, you put a lot of people in close proximity to each other leaving the base, and there's these, you know, concrete, I don't know what you call them. They're like barriers that they can move, you know, the kind that you put on a median, a temporary construction zone. And they've got those heading out the base, and they're like, keep driving. Because people will kind of slow down or try to change lanes because they're not sure what they're doing. Anyway, it was a good time. Kudos to the base. The Blue Angels are now done with their show season. That means that on a Sunday night, you will no longer see the Blue Angels coming back until March, April, somewhere in that vicinity after they do their training in El Centro. Half of the team has transitioned over. People are taking new positions. The number one will keep the same position, obviously, the CO. Number three, Amanda Lee, will stay where she is, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, seven becomes six, six becomes five, five's off the team, four and two are off the team. For the Fat Albert pilots, M1 is left, then the M2 and M3 will move up to M1 and M2, and they'll pick up a new Marine pilot. So, and a bunch of, you know, maintainers, obviously about a third of that team is going to transition as well. 520 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Here's to Prilosec OTC. Without Prilosec, I wouldn't be able to enjoy all this yummy holiday food. Speaking of, whoever made that apple pie, delicious.
Thank you.
I just take one pill each morning and zero heartburn all day. So cheers to Prilosec OTC. Ooh, are those jalapeno poppers?
Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid that can cause heartburn, so you can enjoy the holidays. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
They line it up. Here it comes. Davis takes the snap. He's going to keep it himself, puts his head down, walks into the end zone. Touchdown Choctaws from 1 yard out. So an 80-yard drive.
80-yard drive capped by that one-yard run by Mississippi State College on Saturday. The UWF Argos taking on Mississippi College. And, down 7-0, and that was the only score in the first quarter. Kind of an unusual circumstance, but, you know, we do have an offense.
Second down and 8 coming for the Mississippi College 42. Argos on the move, starting in their own 10-yard line. Big hole, left side. Jamontez Woods, 30, 25, 20, to the 10. Can he stay in bounds? He's in for the touchdown. Jamontez Woods rolls it all the way to the house from 42 yards out, and the Argos are on the board.
There you go, 42-yard run by Jamontez Woods. That makes it 7-7 midway through the second quarter. 48 seconds to go in the half, and Pee Wee Jarrett with the ball around midfield.
Fourth and four. Jarrett claps his hands.
Fourth and four, by the way.
Protecting. Jarrett looks down the field. He's going big towards Giles. Giles running with him. Got it, John Giles. Touchdown, John Giles. He bobbled it, and then the last second got a foot in. You only need one in college football. Giles gets the foot down.
Oh, man. With 48 seconds to go in the half, we're up 14-7. And that's how the half ended. It was 14-7. Going into the third quarter, about halfway through, 9 minutes left to go. UWF with the ball at the 41.
Jarrett pulls it, looking to throw. Everything looked run. He's got Giles middle of the field. Touchdown. John Giles, Argos extend the lead.
John Giles again with another touchdown. God, he's amazing. 21-7. 7 minutes, so about a minute and a half later, Mississippi College is working out of their own end zone, and
he's going to force a 4th and 8, and the Argos are going to force a punt from the talented Michael Shine. He'll be standing 3 yards deep in his own end zone. Virgil Emmons will go to his own 45. Shine, he gets blocked. They get to this one. The Argos, if they fall on in the end zone, they do.
They do.
Touchdown, Argos.
There you go.
Special teams, special forces gets it done. We've been waiting all year. They have been so close, and there's sometimes they're rushing the punter, and they just stop when they, maybe they could get there. But we've taken a penalty or two, roughing the kicker, running into the kicker. This time it's a block punt. It's a touchdown.
I'll take it. 28-7 at that point off the block punt, recovered for the touchdown. So that's halfway through the third quarter. UWF, now here's, there were a couple moments in this game where you just like, what in the hell? And this is one of them. On fourth and 22, UWF decides, we'll go for it.
Yeah, it should be fourth down. It is fourth down.
And they were, the refs were confused third or fourth down.
They've left the offense on the field.
Wait, now what? Fourth and 22.
I don't know that you can come up with this play or not, but you can if Zach Offer makes a catch at the 15, gets inside the 15. He's got the first down. They needed the 17. Buck makes the grab on the beautiful throw from Pee Wee Jarrett. And the Argos, well, you need 22, and you come up with 24.
Just the standard go for it on fourth and 22 play. No big deal. They get 24, you know, whatever. Follows it up.
Two receivers each side of the set. Ball's on the far hash towards the Argos sideline.
On the 11.
Jarrett back to pass. Fires it. Has a man at the goal line in for the touchdown. Caden Leggett, what a catch. The physicality, the hands, deserved. Argos in the end zone again. 11-yard touchdown throw. Jarrett to Leggett.
35-7 at that point. Now, on another drive, we were down toward the end zone. Pee-wee threw an interception. They brought it back almost to midfield on the catch and return, and then they managed to get in the end zone. So that was 35-14, but no worries. no worries. We still got another one from 25 yards out, Jalen Busey.
Busey will run a stretch to the left. Gets away from the first defender. Cuts it inside. 30. I mean, the 10 touchdown. Sorry, 20-10 touchdown. Jalen Busey made a man miss, and you see why. This kid was a part of that North Dakota State machine up there, and he has that kind of ability.
He really does. So that was the final score, 42-14. But I think the MVP on the day, has to actually go to Will Kennedy. Because I was listening in the car, and the broadcast stopped. It just stopped. You know, now it's my station, so I call my people. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And for about 4 or 5 minutes, Will Kennedy comes back on the air and explains.
Welcome back in. We apologize for that. Overheated equipment again. Now I've got a table fan up on the table trying to cool off all the stuff that's in the sun. There's really nowhere for me to slide and hide unless I pull the table back a little bit, and then I can't see the field. So the things you roll with when you're on the road in the Gulf South Conference broadcasting football.
Rockstar, MacGyver engineer, duct tape and shade, and a fan. And he told me his laptop was crashing, too, because of the heat. They were in the sun. You know, and like, I mean, he's right. All of these things can make a difference on the equipment.
Can't we get these guys a tent? I mean, come on.
You know, you think of like these Division One setups and, you know, professional setups where there's a place for everybody and there's shade and there's all the, you know, air conditioning, all that stuff. You know, Will Kennedy is out on the sideline with a soldering iron and a wrench trying to make sure the broadcast stays on the air. And he does. I mean, that's seriously, like, I'm very, very impressed. You know, I would have been like, nah, I'm going home. We're done. We're just done. We're not doing this. So, way to go, Will Kennedy, MVP for the ESPN Pensacola team. 527 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken made a couple of visits to the Middle East on Sunday. First, he met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas during a visit in the West Bank, and later he traveled to Iraq during that same trip. Former President Trump scheduled to take the stand today in the Trump Organization's civil fraud trial in New York.
He's going to confess to everything.
What? That's one theory.
Oh, nice.
Of course, his sons, Eric and Donald Jr., testified last week. Apparently, Ivanka will testify on Wednesday. She had tried to get out of that by saying it would be difficult to do during a school week, but that was shot down.
Where's Barron Trump? You know, the
well,
kid?
Melania just, like, we just saw Melania for the first time in, like, 9 months.
Yeah.
In a week ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's just, you know, in school.
I want the reality show on that kid, man.
He's tall. You wouldn't recognize him. He's very tall.
Really?
Yeah. He's, I think he's, like, the height of his dad almost now.
Wow.
And he's 17, 16, something like that, I think. Anyway. Sorry, David. Were you done? We kind of jumped
in
there.
I did have one more.
Yes, please.
Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin apparently is setting up a scholarship program now, and this is in honor of the hospital workers that kept him alive in the hospital. Of course, if you don't recall, he suffered cardiac arrest infamously during that football game in Cincinnati, was in ICU for a week. Well, over the weekend, he announced he's establishing 10 $1,000 scholarships in each of the names of the people on the team that kept him alive in the hospital.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and it was nice to see him on the sidelines. That's really good. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Okay, I will tell you, I am not the earliest of adopters when it comes to technology. This may surprise you. Not at all. But, you know, I'm very loyal to the technology that I use, and I'm not the first person to try something. First of all, because it's so expensive typically, but also because I figure, let all the other suckers, you know, gamma and beta test it, and, you know, they can figure it out, and then I'll work. There's a new app out apparently called Laps. Laps. And this is an app where you take a picture, and then you send that, the picture gets sent to what they call their digital blackroom, darkroom. Then they develop it later. I mean, there's nothing to do here. And then they post it onto your whatever timeline, and it's supposed to look like an old 80s throwaway phone picture. And you don't really control it, and then it just shows up. And people love the kind of retro, nostalgic, primitive feel. So your $1,000 phone, you can now pretend that your $1,000 phone costs $6 at the Photoshop.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Israeli military has Gaza City surrounded and could enter the city as early as today. That from Israeli media for what could be a very bloody battle with Hamas. Fox's Trey Yinks in southern Israel.
The Israelis have been using their artillery units along the border and also their air force to strike different positions, trying to support the infantry troops that are inside. We don't know exactly how many Israeli forces, but we are talking about thousands of soldiers who are supporting these efforts to go after Hamas leadership.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken, a surprise trip to the Middle East, his latest stop, NATO ally Turkey. He had a one-on-one meeting with his Turkish counterpart for 2.5 hours, according to a State Department spokesperson. And former President Trump expected to take the witness stand, his $250 million civil fraud trial in New York brought by the State Attorney General Letitia James. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 57 degrees, mostly clear skies in Pensacola. The Blue Angels wrapped up their 2023 air show season at NAS Pensacola on Saturday.
You feel the power, you know, it shakes your chest. It's just an awesome experience.
That is Coast Guard veteran Bob Allen. He talked with Channel 3 after that show wrapped up. And he and his wife say they love the Blues so much, they actually travel the entire country and watch just about every air show that they perform at. We don't have the official attendance numbers from this year's air show as of yet, but it did look like a huge crowd out at NAS Pensacola Saturday. The theme of the show was celebrating 50 years of women in aviation. Of course, earlier in the day before the Blues, there were civilian acts, demonstrations of other military jets. The Angels now begin their winter training. They'll move to California to prepare for next year's air season at some point in the near future. A man who survived the Holocaust will speak to Florida lawmakers today. Miami's Dave Schachter will be in Tallahassee for the start of the special legislative session. The 94-year-old will be joined by Pinecrest Rabbi Yossi Harlig. The two will give the invocation and a prayer before that session gets underway. Pensacola police officers now mourning the loss of a canine officer. Canine Sino passed away while on duty on Saturday from an unexpected medical emergency. Pensacola police say that Sino was one of their newer members of the narcotics and apprehension team. He worked with police officer Zach Harris. Right now, there's no details on the nature of the medical emergency that Sino experienced. The manager of the Kraft Farms Property Owners Association in Gulf Shores now faces charges for allegedly embezzling tens of thousands of dollars. 54-year-old Angela Mitchell has been arrested and faces a first-degree theft charge. Investigators say they believe Mitchell charged personal expenses on the organization's debit cards and used the accounts to pay for her personal living expenses. So far, more than $40,000 in stolen funds have been identified. And Governor Ron DeSantis is getting what he hopes will be a big boost for his campaign today. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is now expected to endorse DeSantis today at a rally in Des Moines. Last month, the governor said that that endorsement would be a huge get and very meaningful for him. The most recent Iowa polls showed DeSantis tied for second with Nikki Haley, both trail former President Donald Trump by 27 points. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Going into Tuesday, another beautiful day with plenty of sunshine, high near 80. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
57 in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Ferris Health Partners, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions today at 9 with Ferris Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable. Of course, on Friday, we had the Blue Angel Show, and on Saturday, the Blue Angel Show, and on Thursday, the day before, I went to the base and was talking to some of the team members and got a chance to interview Lieutenant Commander Scott Goosens, number four pilot, the slot pilot. That means when you're looking at the diamond, number one is in front, number four is in the back. So every time there's four, he's the rearmost one. If they're all in the line, he's on the right, but if they're in the diamond, he's in the rearmost one.
So we are on the flight line, which is how we like to do the interviews for the homecoming air show, with Lieutenant Commander Scott Goosens, number four, call sign Goose, right?
Not exactly, no.
And getting ready for the, your last air show as a Blue Angel after, 2 years on the team, right?
Yes, sir, 2 years on the team. It's been an absolute honor to be a part of this team, and really excited for this last show.
What does it mean to you coming up toward the end now? I mean, we'll start from the end at the beginning, but last show, it's got to have a kind of a mixed emotion, I bet.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. This has been the most rewarding tour of my career. What I will miss the most will definitely be just coming to work every day with the people. We have such a great group here. know, the cream of the crop, the best of the best in the fleet. And I will miss that. I'll miss that camaraderie and just this high-functioning organization that I've been so fortunate to be a part of for the last 2 years. The flying's great, but I promise it'll be the people that I'll miss the most.
And probably seeing the kids and doing the service and going out in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have such a unique mission here on the Blue Angels that's slightly different than what our fleet counterparts and what we did prior to coming to this team and what we'll do after coming to this or being on this team. And you know, having been so fortunate to do that for the last couple of years, it's been a great way to help represent my brothers and sisters in the Marine Corps serving around the world, and really to just showcase naval aviation to the American public. And you know, I'm a direct product of that. This is a team that inspired me to go down this road in the first place when I was a kid. So I know how powerful this team is with their ability to inspire the youth of America, not just to do military service, but to really just pursue excellence in their lives, whatever their career choice may be.
So coming toward the end, you've got a really good perspective on what it's like to be in the Blue Angels. Did it turn out to be what you expected? More, different, anything?
I think definitely more than I expected. I think you don't really know what you're stepping into on this team until you're here and you're living it. People talk about how busy it is, how exciting it is, how unlike anything you've ever done before this tour is like, and that's absolutely true. And there's no way to really be prepared for it when you arrive, but I tell you what, having gone through 2 years and coming out the backside now, it's been absolutely incredible, and it's been something I wouldn't trade for the world.
Yeah. It's a pretty relentless schedule. I mean, I know life in the fleet, when you're, especially if you're deployed, is, you know, pretty active, but the Blue Angel schedule is, it's no joke.
Yes, it's certainly busy. I think we hit 32 cities this year, so you're on the road quite a bit. I think it's around 300-something days a year. So, yeah, it is a relentless schedule. It is, I think, 2 years is about the right amount of time, especially when you're hitting every single one of those shows every year. But it's, like I said, been an incredible honor, and it's been such a special experience, one that I'm so thankful for, and that I'm so thankful that my family has been able to accompany me on. And I know they're also feeling those bittersweet feelings as well as this comes to an end, but I think they'll be very happy, and I will also be very happy to be able to spend a little more time with them.
Sounds like that's your way of saying it's better to be in the diamond than to be a solo, because they're 3 years on the team.
Well, I think that's obvious.
Do you I was thinking about this, do you guys get to watch the other performers, because of course, you know, tomorrow and Saturday there's an F-16 demo team, there's an F-35 demo team. Do you get to watch the other acts, or are you too busy performing preparing before you guys get to go up and show?
Every now and then we get to see some acts and catch some glimpses of some acts, but generally how the schedule works out, we're kind of arriving to the show site and then starting our pre-flight preparation and briefing and all that while the air show is going on. So not as much as we'd like to. There's some incredibly talented performers that we're fortunate enough to share the air show circuit with throughout the year, and who will also be here this weekend. And I encourage everyone to arrive to the show early so you can see them as well. I know once I'm done with this team, one day I'll come back to an air show just as a fan and check those shows out, because I know they're pretty incredible themselves. So I'm looking forward to that.
Other than the F-18, is there something that like just captivates you? Is there a platform that you love, even if it's not an American platform? Just something that you, every time you see it, you're like, oh yeah, that's a sweet machine.
Yeah, you know, I think the aircraft that captured at least my generation's interest the most is an aircraft that we don't even fly anymore, but you'll see on static display here at the museum, and also at the air show this weekend on the flight line, is the F-14. I think that's just the classic Navy fighter jet that you know, whether it was from Top Gun or just from growing up and seeing them flying around.
The Final Countdown.
Yeah, Final Countdown. It's just a beautiful airplane, and yeah, one that you know, I would have loved to have flown. But it's just one of those airplanes that just looks great sitting on a ramp and looks great in the air as well.
And twice as big about.
it's
huge, right?
Pretty large aircraft. But yeah, I think if I could go back in time, fly any airplane, it'd probably be that one.
That's very cool. Yeah. So as you just kind of, I don't know, you said your family, you have kids?
I do. I have a 2-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah. Man. Wow. What a fun time.
Yeah.
Does she even know you're on the Blue Angels? Probably not at this point, right?
You know, I think she associates the blue flight suit, the jets, and all that with, she just calls all of it data. So pretty much anything that flies, she says data. But it's, I made the team in July of 2021. She was born in August of 2021.
Oh, wow.
And then I moved down here to Pensacola in September of 2021 to start my time on the team. So her whole life, you know, has been associated with this team or with me being on this team. So I think it's, I don't know if it's something she'll remember fully, but I think it'll be really cool kind of when she looks back on things, all the photos and memories that we've had. And we've been fortunate enough to film this IMAX documentary over the last year or so. And I think that'll be a nice little time capsule of our time on the team. And hopefully that's something that she can watch when she gets older and say, oh yeah, Dad used to do something like that. So like I said, I don't know how in tune she is with the fact that this is the Blue Angels, but I think one day she'll be incredibly proud.
Do you know yet where you're going next?
I do. I'm actually staying here in Pensacola, so I'll be an instructor pilot at VT-86,
which
is in the same hangar right down the hall.
Working for Mongo.
Yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm very much looking forward to that. My family loves Pensacola. This community has just been so welcoming, not just to my family, but to this whole team. And it's just been such a pleasure to perform here twice a year for the last 2 years, whether it be at the beach or at the base. And just the unconditional love and support that the Pensacola community has for this team is something that can't be understated.
That's probably, you know, that's the bluest of the organizations in the Navy is probably VT-86 with all the former Blue Angels that are in it.
That's true.
So I heard a rumor, you may or may not be able to confirm, that at a recent show maybe 2 weeks ago here during a practice, maybe that 5 got above the 1.0.
No, I can confirm that did not happen.
That did not happen. Okay, I was surprised to hear somebody claiming that. They said, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask because, you know, typically never over land, right, unless special waivers or whatever.
No, we won't do that over land, and we're hawking that speed very closely. So, I can confirm that did not happen.
do you ever wish you could fly just the sneak pass for one time?
You know, not really. not that I have anything against it or anything like that, but it's not
doesn't
the maneuver
doesn't
that
draw
I,
you?
I would much rather fly the double farvel.
Okay.
I would much rather do the fleur-de-lis, loop break cross, maneuvers like that. Sneak pass is great. It's low, it's fast, people love it, but you're just going in a straight line and pushing your left hand forward. So how much skill does it really take, right?
Well, plus it's solo, so not much skill at all,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right?
Well, Scott, thanks so much. Oh, I meant to ask you. You said it, not Goose. I had thought it was Goose. My fault. What is your call sign?
My call sign is Jamami. So it's a long story from the fleet, but it's
Jamami.
Jamami, yeah. So that's my call sign.
There's no story you can give me that's like. I know there's always like 4 or 5 stories behind the call sign, but
no. I mean, I think the
And plus, it's a 3-syllable, which is weird.
It is, but it's a quick one,
yeah.
So we can get it across the radio pretty easily. But no, it just goes back to my time in the fleet and being in the ready room on SDO, Squadron Duty Officer, playing music, and I was kind of like the jam master, jam mammy. So that's kind of how it all unfolded. But it's a great call sign, and you know,
they all are.
Obviously, we don't.
They are all good call signs.
All the Navy and Marine Corps call signs have great stories, and not a lot of your classic kind of Top Gun call signs or Air Force call signs, as we like to call them.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Congratulations on your last show site.
Appreciate
that. Glad to have you staying in Pensacola, sticking around, and have a safe and productive couple of demonstrations tomorrow and Friday or Saturday.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And again, thank you so much to the Pensacola community for all the support over the last couple of years. It's been an absolute pleasure to not only represent the Navy and Marine Corps, but to represent the community of Pensacola as well.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Yeah. So just the brief comment on the Jamami is 3 syllables. You typically, the naval call signs, Navy aviator call signs are just 2 syllables because it's easier to say, you know, too easy, like, you know, just punctuated, simple, easy to, you know, pronounce on the air so nobody can misunderstand who you're talking to. But as he said, Jamami's pretty simple too, and it's fast enough, so I can understand that. But yeah, and watched them do their last demonstration, as I said, for the team. About half the team members, 2 and 4, transition off the team. He's going to stay here and train the backseat pilots. When you see those, I say they're orange. Some people say they're red. I don't want to get into a fight. But the T-45 Goshawks, the jets that fly out of NAS Pensacola, they are training the naval flight officers, the back seat pilots. So they need front seat pilots to fly the planes, and that's where a lot of the, you know, it's very common for Blue Angels to, you know, some go back to the fleet, some go to other duties, some stay right here to VT-86 and train folks on that. And also, just a small note, I was having this conversation with my relatives who were in town. This is the kind of thing that people, you may know, okay? And then again, you know, you may not know, so that's why I'm saying, is we call Naval Air Station Pensacola the cradle of naval aviation. And it is, because every pilot in the Navy and Marine starts there. But starts there in the classroom. The actual flying, not to offend anybody, takes place at Whiting. You know, that's the Whiting, Naval Air, NAS Whiting Field, and Corpus Christi also. But you get the training on the propellers where you really learn to fly in the air. That takes place for about, what is it, two-thirds, I think, of the pilots go to NAS Whiting Field and learn to do that. And then if they decide to move on from there to fly helicopters, or they get that's what they get selected for, is helicopters, they stay there and they learn how to fly rotors, which, you know, that's basic instruction in how to fly the, you know, rotational winged aircraft. And so then they go learn how to fly the individual rotor somewhere else. But 100% of your Marines, Coast Guard, and Navy pilots start there at NAS Whiting Field. That's where the actual flying training takes place. The only flight training of that sort that really goes on at NAS Pensacola is that backseater training. And that's not, you know, that's NFOs or Naval Flight Officers like Goose and Top Gun, the backseater. So that's just, you know, as an FYI. It's the kind of thing that a lot of people don't know. A lot of people do know. You know, because, you know, you're pretty well informed listening to the show. But if you don't know, I wanted to tell you so you're not mistaken. People very often misunderstand what happens on board NAS Pensacola, and that's just one of the little ways in which that can be the case. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want people who know what they're doing, will give you good advice, and can get the job done, and are experts, like, all the way through the process, right? And every time you have a question, they have an answer. You know, you don't typically prefer the person where you ask them a question, you're like, huh. Although, but to be fair, you never know, you might ask somebody a question where that's the first time they've heard it. And if it is, they will say, you know, I don't know. Let me check back with you on that. But when you sell 230 homes last year, you know, Christina Leavenworth, there's not going to be a lot of questions you're going to ask where she's like, well, that is a first. But there's always new stuff. You're always learning, okay? So, you know, a lot of track record, a lot of get you all the way through to the end. The kind of person that if I could go back in time and rebuy the first house I ever bought with her, oh, my God, what a blessing it would have been to be able to have her, especially as the first purchase, to, you know, shepherd you through and answer your questions and, you know, help you make good choices, basically. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
I'm the machine!
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame.
So we recently watched, I think that was from Days and Confused is where I heard that. And I had never heard that song before. And no, we do not have any weather. There's no storms in the Gulf or anything like that. But what a great song. 553 on News Radio, 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, Secretary of State Antony Blinken made an unannounced visit to the West Bank on Sunday. He met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. It's Blinken's second visit to the region since the Hamas surprise attack. a really weird, strange story coming out of Alabama. A small town mayor apparently killed himself days after pictures of him wearing women's clothes and makeup were published by a conservative news site. This is out of Smith's Station.
Okay.
Mayor F.L. Bubba Copeland apparently shot himself on Friday, days after pictures were published by this news organization that he had been posing as a woman online. And then Florida lawmakers back at work today, Andrew. They're in Tallahassee for a special legislative session. They've got a lot on their agenda, including Hurricane Idalia relief, public support for Israel, and sanctions on Iran.
Hmm. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. Interesting story, the kind of thing that it fits with other things that you may already know. And if you don't, then good. We're going to add your knowledge. But story about graduation rates in American high schools, comparing boys to girls, or I guess at 18, men to women. But the problem is, if you're not familiar, the challenge for the educational setting is that it's a setting very well designed for women, not particularly well designed for men. And the reason I say that is because just the basic issue of boys tend to be more active, more restless, more physical. Women, the kind of be still, be quiet, listen, you know, that kind of stuff, is much friendlier to the generally female disposition. Of course, you know, none of these statements are all or nothing. These are generalities. But the generality is, you know, who tends more often to get in trouble and get scolded by the teacher? Well, it's the boys. Because why? Because they're touchers, they're feelers, they're doers, they're fidgety, they're, you know, it's just boys. That's not a problem. They don't need medication. They're not ADHD or whatever. I mean, you know, some may be, but, you know, most boys are not. And so one of the challenges that you have is that the basic structure of the classroom is much more friendly, especially at younger ages, but also through puberty, even so, to females rather than males. Well, the byproduct of this, despite what you may have heard all these years about, you know, how boys outperform girls and all this stuff, and there's institutional bias against them. Well, there's other kinds of institutional bias as well, and this one is pretty well known. But what we're finding is that boys are graduating high school at lower rates than girls. Again, I don't think it's all that much of a surprise, but that's what the data seems to indicate. And the gap between them is pretty wide, comparable to the gap between students from affluent and low-income families. Another challenge that we have in schools, of course. So we're not quite sure why, at least that's what the study indicates, but more than 45,000 fewer boys than girls graduated high school in 2018. This year, about 88% of girls graduated on time, compared with 82% of boys. So a 6% gap in graduation between boys and girls. And that seems to be fairly persistent. So, you know, boys get referred to special education at higher rates than girls in early grades. They're suspended at higher rates throughout school. And all of those things have long-term consequences, because how you do in school will tend to be a predictor, effector, right, of what happens later on in life. So the graduation gender gap, as one of the study authors said, is harder to explain than some of the other disparities we see. Now, they say structural racism is part of the explanation for why black youth and Hispanic, Latino youth and American Indian youth are less likely to graduate. I would say it's possible that there are structural racist aspects. It's possible that there are cultural home life aspects as well. And here's what's funny. They say, but it's not a structural racism issue for boys versus girls. Well, what about a structural sexism issue? I mean, I'm not kidding. How do you know that's a true statement? It can't be sexism, because that would go against the narrative that the patriarchy is in charge of everything. I mean, to me, look, if I showed you data that said that 6% fewer black students were graduating than white students, if I show, not you necessarily, but you know, researchers, okay, American social scientists, and it's across the board, they would say, structural racism. That would be their first thought, is what's racist about this system? And if I showed you data that said that, you know, upper class and lower class, high income, low income students, there was a 6% disparity in their graduation, and again, not you, but social scientists, they would say structural classism, right? There's something involved here that is, okay. But if I show you 6% gap in graduation rates between boys and girls, and they're like, I don't know. could probably nothing. Well, could be. I mean, could be that boys are less able to perform at high school than girls. I mean, it's a possibility. It could be that the structure of the thing that is used to determine whether somebody qualifies for a high school diploma and is therefore employable in the workplace, right? That's a problem. That there's something about that that is punishing boys relative to punishing girls. So, and it just a, you know, it's a weird kind of study, and I don't think it's necessarily that hard to explain, but it's also one that's affecting these boys for the rest of their lives.